Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam wa rasulullah. You're listening to CMR, that's the Calgary Muslim Radio. This is your host, Yusuf Estes, National Muslim Chaplain from Washington, D.C. We're here today to talk on a subject that is relative not only to the Muslims, but to the Christians, Jews, Hindus as well. It's the subject of the Big Bang Theory, and also proving that there, in fact, is a God. The Big Bang Theory basically denies that there is a God and that everything came about as a matter of chance, without any kind of intelligent design behind it whatsoever. There's a lot of discussion about this amongst the scientists themselves these days, and due to the fact that they've discovered some some creations of Allah that they see now had no origin as far as evolution is concerned. Some of the scientists today are even saying there's something called intelligent design. And having said that, I would like to move on now to go to our subject about the Big Bang and think about this. You can, by the way, visit our internet website to read this page for yourself. It's located on our site, Islam Tomorrow, islamtomorrow.com, and then put a slash mark, then the word Big Bang, just like one word, bigbang.htm. That'll take you right to this very thing that I'm going to read to you now, inshallah. The Big Bang, a logical approach to the understanding of the creation of the universe and its continuation. And now this is based on the simple reflection without emotional prejudices or superstition. This is just for something to sit and think about. Where did everything come from? What's the proof? We're all aware of the popular theory referred to as the Big Bang Theory. It tries to explain the existence of the universe in an evolutionary manner, having an initial beginning with an immense explosion of some gases or solid matter. Some say there first was a void or a nothingness, or perhaps some gases which exploded. Then from this, everything in the universe simply came to evolve to the stage that we see now. There's never been any solid evidence for this idea of something out of nothing. For that matter, there's no evidence for the evolutionary theory itself. What we'd like to explore here is the idea of creation from a purely logical standpoint, using simple terminology without religious hype or emotional preconvictions or superstitions. These are some considerations. First, what if somebody, call himself a scientist, comes up to you and he says he has this theory of how automobiles are manufactured? He says there's a salvage yard on the south side of town. It blows up, and all the metal pieces fly into the air, and then they fall back down to the earth in one place, forming a brand new Chevrolet or Hummer or BMW, etc. No parts are left over. Oh, and the motor's running. Well, we wouldn't buy that. Here's another one. This is his theory of how a chair is made. He said an explosion occurs in a forest. Trees go flying into the air. Suddenly they combine with some flying cloth and then fall back down to the earth to make a beautiful chair. In fact, it lands in the furniture showroom complete with matching table and lamp. This is obviously a joke. He further explains that there's an earthquake in California's Silicon Valley, and this causes the computer chips and circuit boards and other various parts to fall into their boxes from the shelves and just come together. And as they're rolling around on the floor, they form the most advanced technical computers existing on Earth. We ain't gonna buy that. Listen to this one. This is his idea of his medicine theory. He claims that there's a gas leak in a pharmacy warehouse. This causes a terrific explosion. All the different chemicals and substances just smash into each other in exactly the correct amounts and proportions to produce a miracle drug that cures everything from cancer to heart and liver disease, old age, and even warts. Again, this is too bizarre for words. Wait, we got another one. He said, it's all in one formula, this cure for diseases, packaged in bottles with labels ready to sell. Oh, and no mess left on the floor. After all this exploding and excitement, this scientist tells you, you know, he's hungry. Huh? He wants to take you out to a great place to relax, have something to eat. It's his favorite place to eat. He calls it Burger Blast. He says, okay, we just go in, we sit down. Don't have to talk to anybody. Don't order anything. You just sit down. Suddenly a blast from the kitchen occurs, and immediately a burger lands right in front of you with all the trimmings, just the way you like it, complete with fries, a drink, and even your favorite dessert. And no one works a Burger Blast. It just runs itself, automatically cleaning itself as you leave. Oh, and it scans your billfold for a credit card, charges your bank account. Yeah, right. Now the question is, are we going to accept any of this as a fact? And of course not. You don't believe a new car is made from flying junk, chairs don't fall down from exploding trees, earthquakes don't produce computers, blasting burgers don't rain down on us from above. So, how come we don't challenge a theory of something coming from nothing, then colliding in the cosmos to make the universe? Is it because of its tremendous magnitude that we have so little comprehension about it, that we're willing to accept any theory from a few telescope peeping toms to tell us that it came from nothingness? Or just some gases colliding around and then poof, instant universe? How? Okay, now let's come to our main subject. Subject here is creation or explosion. I'm not going to dignify this with the term evolution. There is evolution in the world. Things do evolve from this, that. Not from one species to another, no. But there is certain things that evolve. So I'm not going to use that term, but just the explosion, because that's really what they want you to believe is about this explosion. We turn our attention now to the earth and the heavens, and we make observations of our own without a genius scientist telling us what we're looking at. Then the idea that nothing is sustaining the heavens and the earth, it just runs itself. Question, how? Think about the stars, the sun, the moon, the countless solar systems and galaxies out there in the universe. Where'd it come from? Who or what created them in the first place? They continue to function and move with the utmost precision and accuracy. Who does this? Who keeps them gliding along on their courses and orbits preordained for them? Now, if you're on our website, if you're looking at our website, islamtomorrow.com, go to the page bigbang.htm. If you don't know how to do that, just type in the website's address, islamtomorrow.com, then put a slash, the word Big Bang, like one word, .htm. Then read down the page to where you find what I just did. The first, what would they call, hot link, would be blue letters. It says, the Quran on the origin of the universe. Click it, because that's what the subject we're talking about. So that you can see this beautiful picture. Taken by the way, one of those probes been sent into space by NASA. Check it out. It's actually a condensed picture. So you can click on another link there and see the big picture. It's It's huge. It's amazing. It's beyond anything that a human mind can even imagine. You can't imagine something like this. I want to talk about what the Quran says on the origin of the universe. Now, this is at another page that we have. This is at islamnavar.com/smoke_details.htm. Or you can just click the link and it'll take you there. The science of modern cosmology, observational and theoretical, clearly indicates that at one point in time, the whole universe was nothing but a cloud of smoke. That is an opaque, highly dense, and hot, gaseous composition. This is one of the undisputed principles of standard modern cosmology. Scientists now can observe new stars forming out of the remnant of that smoke. Well, this is testable evidence. They have evidence for this. The illuminating stars that we see at night, just as was the whole universe in that smoke material, Allah says about it in the Quran. Now, this is in chapter 41. Chapter 41, verse 11. Allah says, because the earth and the heavens, Allah said he turned to the heavens when it was smoke. That's what he says, chapter 41, verse 11. Because the earth and the heavens above, the sun, the moon, stars, planets, have been formed from this same smoke, we conclude that the earth and the heavens were one connected entity. Then out of this homogeneous smoke, they formed and separated from each other. Now Allah said in the Quran, this is chapter 21, verse 30, have not those who disbelieve known that the heavens and the earth were one connected entity and then Allah separated them? Professor Alfred Kroner is one of the world's well-known geologists. He's also a professor of the Department of Geosciences, the University of Mainz in Germany. He said, thinking where Muhammad came from, I think it is almost impossible that he could have known about things like the common origin of the universe. Because scientists have only found out within the last few years, with very complicated and advanced technological methods, that this is the case. The professor also said somebody who did not know something about nuclear physics 1400 years ago could not, I think, be in a position to find out from his own mind, for instance, that the earth and the heavens had the same origin. Give us something to think about. Now I'll move to another subject. We talk now what the Quran says about the origin of the universe. And of course the professor, when he's referring to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's talking about the Quran, because the non-believers consider that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam just made it up. I want to look closer now to the heavens surrounding the earth, what we call the sky. Notice the clouds. What are they? And let's look now to the Quran, what the Quran says about the clouds. According to the scientists today, they say that water evaporizes from the oceans and rivers and forming tiny clouds. Small clouds join together. The updrafts within the larger cloud increase. The updrafts closer to the center are stronger because they are protected from the cooling effects by the outer portion of the cloud. These updrafts cause the cloud body to grow vertically, so the cloud is stacked up. This vertical growth causes the cloud body to stretch into cooler regions of the atmosphere where drops of water and hail formulate and begin to grow larger and larger. When these drops of water and hail become too heavy for the updrafts to support them, they begin to fall from the cloud. They fall from the cloud as rain or hail. And this is taken, by the way, from a book called The Atmosphere. It's page 269. Also in The Elements of Meteorology, and that's on pages 141 and 42. Now, just for the sake of argument, let us say what Muslim scientists used to formulate their understanding centuries ago based on the revelation of the Quran. Now, let's go back and look in the Quran, Surah An-Nur, chapter 24, verse 43. Allah tells them, "Have you not seen how Allah makes the clouds move gently, then joins them together, then makes them into a stack, and then you see the rain come out of it?" Meteorologists have only recently come to know these details of cloud formation, the structure, function, etc., by using advanced equipment like aeroplanes, satellites, computers, the hot air balloons, and other equipment to study wind and direction, to measure humidity and its variations, and to determine the levels and variations of atmospheric pressure. Now, the verse that I just read to you from the Quran, after mentioning clouds and rain, speaks about hail and lightning. Keep reading. "And he sends down hail from mountains," meaning the clouds in the sky, "and he strikes it whomever he wills with it, and he turns it from whomever he wills. The vivid flash of lightning nearly blinds the sight." That's the very next verse, of course, the rest of the verse in chapter 24, Surah An-Nur, verse 43. Keep reading. "Because the meteorologists have found that these cumulus clouds that shower hail reach a height of 25,000 to 30,000 feet. That's about 5-6 miles high. And what does Allah say? "And he sends down from the mountains," or clouds, these clouds are so big he's calling them mountains, "he sends down hail from these mountainous clouds in the sky." Now, this verse may raise the question, why does the verse say it's lightning when referring to hail? This seems to indicate that hail is a major factor in producing lightning. Looking to a scientist's book on the subject of meteorology today, it's called Meteorology Today. That's the name of the book. Page 437 is what it says. "Clouds become electrified as hail falls through a region in the cloud of supercooled droplets and ice crystals. As liquid droplets collide with the hail, they freeze on contact and release latent heat. This keeps the surface of the hail warmer than that of the surrounding ice crystals. When the hail comes in contact with an ice crystal, an important phenomenon occurs. Electrons flow from the colder object toward the warmer object. So, the hail becomes negatively charged. The same effect occurs when supercooled droplets come in contact with a piece of hail and tiny splinters of positively charged ice break off. These lighter, positively charged particles are then carried to the upper part of the cloud by updrafts. The hail, left with a negative charge, falls toward the bottom of the cloud. So the lower part of the cloud becomes negatively charged. These negative charges are then discharged to the ground as lightning." Now remember, I just read that to you from Meteorology Today. Imagine now, and go back and look and see, what did Allah say? I'm going to read the whole verse to you now and let you get a better feel for it, inshallah. "Have you not seen how God makes the clouds move gently, then joins them together, then makes them into a stack, then you see rain come out, and he sends down hail from the mountainous clouds in the sky, and he strikes with it whomever he wills and turns it from whomever he wills, the vivid flash of its lightning nearly blinding the sight, and he sends down hail from the mountainous clouds of the sky." Now, there you have it. We've gone over it a couple of times. This information on lightning was discovered only recently. In fact, until the year 1680, we're talking about 400 years ago, Aristotle's ideas on meteorology were dominant in the non-Muslim countries. For example, he had said that the atmosphere contains two kinds of exhalation, moist and dry. He also said that thunder is the sound of the collision of the dry exhalation with the neighboring clouds, and lightning is the inflaming and burning of the dry exhalation with a thin and faint fire. Now that's basically from the works of Aristotle, translated to English, page 369. These are some of the ideas on meteorology that were actually dominant at the time the Quran's revelation came 1400 years ago. So the Quran is coming at a time when people are having a very big misunderstanding of what is around them. The real science doesn't come until 800 to 1,000 to 1,500 years later. And some of the things that we're just now discovering today have been verified by the Quran more than 1,400 years ago. So these are just some of the things that we can look forward to when we begin to study this Big Bang Theory in the light of the Quran. We want to continue this series, so I hope you'll tune in again here frequently at CMR. We're at Calgary Muslim Radio. This is your host, Yusuf Estes. If you like the program, then I suggest that you contact the folks. Let them know. And be sure to let others know in your area, in your neighborhood, and those of them that you know online that would like to hear a rebroadcast of these programs. Tell them about our website, IslamTomorrow.com. And be a regular here at CMR Radio. I'm going to sign off for now, but I'm not going to leave you until I make a little dua or a little supplication to Almighty Allah for you and for me. I'm going to ask Almighty God to guide you, to guide me, to guide all of us to real truth, and help us to better understand what it is that He wants for us to do. Ameen. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.